Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Mr. President, thank you for the great honor of appointing me to serve as a justice of the Supreme Court. The Senate confirmation process was contentious and emotional. That process is over. My focus now is to be the best justice I can be.
On behalf of our nation, I want to apologize to Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure.
It is a Tuesday morning, October 9, 2018. Those were some sound bites, as we say in the biz, from the White House ceremony last evening. Started at about 7 o'clock. The President, retired Justice Kennedy, and also, of course, a new Justice of the Supreme Court being ceremonially sworn in. He was officially sworn in over the weekend on Saturday after the confirmation vote earlier in the day. So lots happening and more protests outside, and we're going to be talking about what it was like inside the White House ceremony, coming up with two folks who had an exclusive invitation, including our friend Father Frank Pavone, who joins me every week. Father Frank is a National Director for Priests for Life, and also Alveda King, who is ahead of their minority outreach, is going to be joining us in the national hour. She was also there, and she'll join us at 9:15. At the bottom of the hour this morning, I'm excited to have two amazing women of God who speak up for life all the time. And that's our friends Debbie Herbeck, and also we're going to be taking a look at what's happening with a particular event. Iris Proctor and Debbie Herbeck are going to be joining us. A beautiful event, helping women and girls understand the way their bodies are designed. And this is such good information. I don't know if you heard the interview yesterday that we did with the Abolition of Woman, how radical feminism is betraying women. Part of what's going on here in all of this stuff that we're seeing and this hate and these words that are being spewed against anybody who disagrees with one form of feminism, and that's extreme radical feminism, where you have to be absolutely 100% unequivocally pro-abortion. You cannot budge a bit. And when you do, you are called every name in the book, including even if you're a moderate senator who calls herself pro-choice, as is the case with Susan Collins, who gave an amazing speech in Washington on Friday laying out all of her reasons on why she was voting yes for the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to fill the vacancy on the highest court of the land. None of her reasoning, her explanations mattered. None of her support for sexual assault victims to come forward. None of anything that she said about listening to allegations, as we did with Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Nothing about the fact that she laid out the case as to why nothing that Blasey Ford and the other women who charged him with all kinds of crazy stuff could be corroborated at all. None of that mattered. She spoke for almost an hour and laid out everything. And it didn't matter, because she supported President Trump's choice to replace Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court. That's all that mattered. She is being called a rapist apologist. She is also being called a white supremacist. And now they're going after white women and saying that we are a big part of the problem. I mean, it's out of control. It's crazy. But a lot of this comes from an angst within, especially with women who really don't know who they are, how they were created, and think for some reason they've been drinking the Kool-Aid forever, and they're thinking that the only way for a woman to be in control is to have the legal opportunity to kill her own children. There is no understanding of what it really means to understand your body and to have control in terms of opening yourself up to God. And what that looks like. So this is why the event that Debbie and Iris are doing coming up next week is so important, because it takes a true look at women's health and helps to educate young women, their moms, and others about why they need to know how their body works. So important. And then we're going to be talking with Edward Penton, going to Rome. The latest, there was a meeting with the USCCB at the Vatican yesterday. Archbishop Gomez was there. Cardinal DiNardo from Galveston, Houston, also the head of the USCCB, was there. We don't know exactly what was said. We're trying to find out. There's also that letter from a Canadian cardinal, a retired Canadian cardinal, attacking Archbishop Vigano, saying he has to repent for what he did. But that letter also revealed and actually confirmed some of what Archbishop Vigano was claiming in his two letters, the one that was issued earlier this summer than the one recently in September. So we'll go to Edward Penton and Roan, who's been covering all this, and he'll join us. Then, as I said, we'll be talking with Dr. Alveda King. And then last but not least, can't wait to talk with Monsignor Pope. He'll be commenting on all these developments in Rome and in the church and where we stand now. We need to keep this story out there, and we need to make sure that we have a clear path for people who need to come forward, who haven't come forward yet, or maybe their cases are stalled in terms of sexual abuse allegations. We also have to have a good system in place so there's not a witch hunt. There has to be some balance in this, but we can't push this aside because this is still a huge, huge problem in the church. And we'll find out if it's being addressed, if the church abuse crisis is being addressed in Rome at the synod that's going on with the youth. So much to talk about, and of course we'll take your calls at 877-573-7825. Andrew is also going to dig up, and I'm sure you've probably seen it by now, and if not, I really encourage you to take a look at it. There's this video of what happened on Saturday as Justice Kavanaugh was being sworn in, of these leftist crazy activists. It's the only way to describe them. They were out of their minds, unhinged, banging on the Supreme Court doors. I mean, literally screaming outside. One woman with her nails trying to pry the door open, claiming they wanted to shut the court down. And now there are calls by Hillary Clinton and others on the left to get rid of the Electoral College. And there are also other calls to change the structure of Congress, especially with the Senate. Why? Because it didn't turn out the left's way. So instead of rolling up their sleeves and getting busy, getting people to the polls, elections have consequences, what are they doing? They are continuing the rage and the anger. And much of it is based on their extreme positions, especially in the area of abortion. Oh, and there's also a teacher in Minnesota who has been suspended because she tweeted yesterday, who's going to take one for the team and kill Brett Kavanaugh? I'm not kidding. And we're the ones who are extreme? And where are some of these politicians in terms of speaking out against, on the left, speaking out against this nonsense and these people being unhinged? This is now the face of their party. You cannot budge. You have to be like a zombie in terms of following lockstep with everything that they say and do. I mean, the attacks on Susan Collins from women, it's just appalling. I thought feminism was all about choice. Choice, choice, choice. No. It's only about the choices that the Planned Parenthoods, the George Soroses, the extremists on the left say you can choose. If you agree with them in those choices, you're part of the clan, part of the group. If not, they kick you to the curb. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. So we'll talk about that with Father Frank Pavone coming up at about 8:15, his experience at the White House. We'll have some stories for you in the news about the latest. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, talking about a beautiful opportunity to help your daughters and yourself learn more about your body and the beauty and dignity of it. Iris Proctor and, of course, Deb Herbeck coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have Edward Penton at 9. We have Alveda King at 9:15. And then Monsignor Pope wrapping up on a Tuesday. Woo! Going to be a busy morning. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a great and interesting ride. Our phone number again is 877-573-7825 on a Tuesday morning. We'll try to fit the weather in at some point In the meantime, there is a lot of news, as you can imagine, so let's get to that right now on a Tuesday, October 8th. Well, a liberal teacher has been placed on leave as her school district investigates a tweet she sent urging people to kill Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The FBI in Minneapolis confirming it is aware of the tweet, which has since been deleted, and the teacher has been placed on leave. She's from an intermediate school district in Rosemount, Minnesota, allegedly tweeting references of killing Kavanaugh, according to the Star Tribune there in Minneapolis. So who's going to take one for the team and kill Kavanaugh, the tweet, which has since been deleted, allegedly read. A spokesperson from the FBI confirming the tweet belongs to the unnamed teacher and the Twitter account has also been deleted. The superintendent of the school district where this woman works, releasing a statement yesterday following the incident on the school district's website, saying, over the weekend, the district received a complaint regarding an employee. The employee has been placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Alrighty then. Well, President Trump apologizing, as you heard, to his newest Supreme Court justice.
On behalf of our nation, I want to apologize to Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure.
At a White House press ceremony yesterday, Trump remarking again that Brett Kavanaugh and his family have been put through terrible pain and suffering that was simply not necessary and extremely un-American. Meanwhile, as Mark Mayfield reports, he has more on the ceremony at the White House last night.
After being sworn in, Kavanaugh said the confirmation process was contentious and emotional, but that's in the past.
I take this office with gratitude and no bitterness. On the Supreme Court, I will seek to be a force for stability and unity. My goal is to be a great justice for all Americans.
Kavanaugh's oath caps a grueling nomination process that divided the nation. President Trump apologized to Kavanaugh during last night's ceremony, saying he and his family went through terrible pain and suffering during the confirmation process. Kavanaugh had faced accusations of sexual assault during the process. At last night's White House ceremony, Trump remarked that Kavanaugh was, quote, proven innocent. Kavanaugh will start hearing cases on the Supreme Court today.
Notice, and this is something I want you to pick up in terms of the media language, they always mention the sexual assault allegations, never mention that they were found to be completely uncorroborated, that there was not one piece of evidence they could find to uphold whatever Dr. Ford was saying, as well as these other women who came out of the woodwork and labeled him as a serial rapist, a drunk, everything else under the sun. Not one piece of evidence. Nothing, nothing, zip, zero, nada. Could be, again, corroborated. Yet they never say that. So this is what the media want to do. They are lock and step with the liberals, and they want you to think he's a bad guy. They want to keep this in your mind. Sexual assault, white man. Sexual assault, white man. So I spent a lot of time this morning rewriting the news. As Kavanaugh addressed the nation last night, Linda Trotter joined supporters outside the White House.
He educated himself. He served our country. He should be there.
Kavanaugh's nomination approved over the weekend following a long confirmation process that included two FBI investigations, the final investigation reexamining uncooperated sexual assault allegations against him. Now, that was my rewrite for the story, which made no mention of the fact that there are actually two investigations once he was nominated. The first one, which is a normal process, and the second one that was insisted upon by Jeff Flake and also Democrats, the one that lasted for a week. Okay? Not to mention the five other FBI investigations that he's had in terms of his background over his professional career, because he was with the very, very prominent and important D.C. Circuit Court, not to mention his working for the Bush administration. Seven FBI investigations in this man's lifetime and not any indication of any type of criminal sexual activity or any type of bad behavior. And yet all they want you to remember is that he was accused of sexual assault. Keep that in mind when you watch the coverage, especially over the next couple of weeks. Oh, and by the way, where will you see and hear this story outside of our news outfits? The newly confirmed Supreme Court justice, already fulfilling one of his promises. Oh, but don't forget, he's a white supremacist and a sexist and a misogynist and a serial rapist. Kavanaugh, already on the job with the court's first ever all-women team of law clerks. Already then. Well, liberal writers and activists responding to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation over the weekend by attacking white women. Okay, this is the thing now. It's all about the white women. We're bad, those of us who are white women. The New York Times on Saturday evening publishing an op-ed titled, White Women Come Get Your People. The op-ed's author, Alexis Grinnell, attacking Republican women who supported Kavanaugh as gender traitors. In league with the patriarchy. She claimed that white women benefit from the system by trading on their whiteness to monopolize resources for mutual gain. And listen to this. White women are expected to support this system by marrying within their racial group, reproducing whiteness, and even minimizing violence against their own bodies. What? And she wasn't alone in placing responsibility for Kavanaugh's nomination on white women. Women's March leader Linda Sarsour on Friday calling Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins the mother and grandmother of white women in America who gave us a Donald Trump presidency. She is a disgrace and her legacy will be that she was a traitor to women and marginalized communities. History will not treat her kindly. The next day, this same woman introduced Democratic New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand at an anti-Kavanaugh rally. Time magazine last week publishing an open letter to white women from playwright and feminist activist Eve Ensler, demanding that white women block the ascension of a man who was angry, aggressive, and vengeful, and could very well be a sexual assaulter. Could be, no evidence, no evidence at all. But he could be. And NBC News running an opinion piece on Sunday slamming white Republican women for Kavanaugh's confirmation, which the op-ed claimed was the ultimate affirmation of the patriarchy. Alrighty then. Okay, we'll leave some of the commentary for Father Frank up next. In other news, with Hurricane Michael taking aim at Florida, experts are reminding people not just in the Sunshine State of the importance of being prepared for a possible natural disaster. Rula Price, Community Outreach Director for Wells Fargo Home Lending, says there are a few simple steps you can take to make life a little easier if you're hit by a major storm. And she highly recommends taking advantage of technology.
During times of disaster, there's sometimes periods of you're not able to access your mail. So having that bill payment set up on your online banking so that you can continue to take care of your financial matters.
Price says you should also have a digital library of important documents and photographs of your property stored on a thumb drive so you can access them even if you can't get into your home. Around 2,500 mourners gathering last night in Amsterdam, New York to remember the lives lost in Saturday's horrific limousine crash. 20 people were killed, all 18 in the vehicle, and two pedestrians in a limo failed to stop at an intersection, hit a parked car, and then careened out of control into a ravine. It was the deadliest transportation-related accident in America since 49 people died in a plane crash near Buffalo in 2009. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio signing off on a bill later today that creates a third gender category in birth certificates issued by the city. New York City Council and Board of Health voting last month to include the gender category X on birth certificates. De Blasio saying it will allow individuals to self-attest to their own gender identity on birth certificate applications. Alrighty then. 8:20. I have a lot to say on that, but not enough time this morning. When we come back, we'll chat with Father Frank Pavone, who was at the White House ceremony last night. He'll give us his take and also his commentary on what's happening out there in the culture and what impact this will have on the midterms. Now, it's your choice. We are not going to tell you how to vote. We are going to continue as we did 2 years ago and as we do every election to remind you what the church teaches. And how, when we go into the voting booth, our Catholic faith is not just a factor. It should be the factor, just like it should be the factor in everything we do. As Al says, we do our best every day to look at everything through the lens of the Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. So we don't put our Catholicism aside when we step in the voting booth. And we need to remember what's at stake here. When you have people on the left saying that we want to wipe out the Electoral College, we want to change the Senate, and even change the Supreme Court, there are calls. They're not going to let up on Kavanaugh. They're talking about trying to impeach him and continuing this investigation. Thank you very much, our tax dollars at work. And they want to continue to protect, expand, and push abortion down our throats. Now, if you want the people who were screaming and yelling and trying to tear down the Supreme Court to run this country, well, you can vote a particular way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we will be voting pro-life. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Catholic burials are an expression of our faith. For families, it is a time of grief and loss, but also a time of reflection about eternal life and our belief in the resurrection. Our faith emphasizes the importance to lay loved ones to rest on consecrated ground. It is so important they are lovingly taken care of through the Christian rite of committal. Keeping remains in your home does not ensure their long-term safety, nor does scattering the ashes, and for many, does not allow the opportunity for closure. Having a sacred resting place gives your family and future generations a setting to visit, remember, and honor. Gather Them Home is a no-cost mission program to properly lay to rest your loved ones. Join us on All Souls Day, Friday, November the 2nd, for a community memorial service for cremated remains. For more information, visit gatherthemhome.org. That's gatherthemhome.org, or call 734-285-2155. 734-285-2155. Brought to you by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, 823. You can hear this, but you have to see it. You go online, you could just search protesters banging on the Supreme Court doors. This took place Saturday as Brett Kavanaugh had his official swearing-in ceremony. Last night was more or less ceremonial, where guests and friends of the White House and the pro-life movement were invited, and, of course, his family and friends, Brett Kavanaugh. And among those privileged to attend, their very own Father Frank Pavone. So, Mr. Fancy Pants, Father Fancy Pants, thanks for spending time with the little people this morning and telling us how it was last night. Appreciate you joining us. All right, so first of all, your thoughts on how historic this is in terms of what's been happening in our country for the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's very historic because now, of course, this court has shifted more in our direction, in the direction of conservative values, Catholic teachings on life and marriage and family and freedom. The court is, we knew this was going to be an epic battle for this Supreme Court replacement, and it was. One thing that's great about America is whether it's elections or appointments like this and confirmations, the country knows how to accept the result of processes that we have through our Constitution for making changes. It's one of the things that's made America great over all these centuries is that, peaceful transitions of power. And what we saw in the displays like that clip that you just or plenty. I mean, Brett Kavanaugh not my judge is an echo of, you know, Trump not my president. And it's symptomatic of people who do not know how to accept in a peaceful manner decisions that are made by the processes our country has. And if you disagree with those outcomes, as is perfectly legitimate to do, you use the established processes to make the changes. And that's what we do, when we march for life. I mean, contrast the March for Life in Washington with the antics that you just played on that clip. And I want to echo what you said. I mean, I want to urge people to watch these clips of these people clawing and scratching.
Clawing, literally clawing. One woman got her nails in the door and tried to pry it open. I mean, it was just pathetic.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre behavior. And so one of the things that goes through my mind, of course, it doesn't reduce only to this, but it does go through my mind, where were these people in their eighth grade civics class, where you're supposed to how to deal with things that you object to in this government? There's processes, elections, there's lobbying, there's, making your voices heard in any number of ways. But that's just kind of bizarre. It's like a child's temper tantrum is what it is.
So, Father, in terms of now what they're doing with Senator Collins, she is now getting just attacked, and she's being called a white supremacist female. All of these white female commentators on some of the liberal networks are going after her and just saying she's just really has assaulted women. And she laid out, even though she's not with us yet on the life issue, she laid out, I think, a very good argument, point by point, as to why she was voting for Brett Kavanaugh. And this is her choice, and she obviously thought a lot about it. I thought radical feminism or feminism in general was supposed to be all about choice.
Well, and about a woman, achieving a position of significant influence and then deciding for herself what she thinks is right, articulating it, and resisting pressure to act as a country. I mean, that would seem feminists would want to celebrate that. President Trump last night referred to Senator Collins in his remarks. And he quoted her, the part of her speech where she said, when passions are inflamed, fairness is most in jeopardy. And he emphasized how true that is, and therefore how honorable, her decision was. You can be tempted not to be fair, but fairness in this case really required that people not believe these allegations because it wasn't sufficient evidence. And that's the way our system works. Right from the top to the bottom. So it was a great sense last night in the room at that ceremony of a great sense of gratitude, not just that Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, because of course all the people in that room supported him, but also the sense that the principles of fairness, due process, presumption of innocence were also victorious. Not just Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice. But those principles for our whole system, and that was very much the sense of the celebration last night.
Father, I think in some ways what's happening is really a Romans 8:28 situation. By the way, if you're just joining us, Father Frank catching up on the cell phone down in D.C. last night, he was among those attending the ceremony at the White House for the ceremonial swearing-in of the new Justice of the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. We're seeing what the liberals really want, and they want a total destruction of the way our country was founded. They don't believe in any of the systems we have. If it goes their way, it's okay for a while, but the minute things start to swing in the opposite direction, they want a majority. They don't want a republic. They don't want a democratic republic. They want a majority rule, a dictatorship, in terms of one voice, one party, and that's it. And you can see how no other voices are welcome, even with someone as moderate as a Susan Collins, that they should be supporting because she made her quote-unquote choice. And what's frightening, but I'm glad we're seeing this, especially a few weeks out into these important midterm elections, you've got Hillary Clinton on the record saying that the Electoral College has to be changed. You have others saying that the structure of Congress, as in the Senate, needs to be changed. They're not crazy about the Supreme Court. They're talking about trying to impeach Kavanaugh. So this is being revealed. They are really showing their true colors in terms of the fact that in addition to their extreme positions on abortion and so-called same-sex marriage and these other things, that we know pertain to the dignity of the human person, the way we're designed in the image and likeness of God, they are radically attempting, through by any means necessary, to really just turn this country upside down.
You know, if the Democrats were to take control of the House of Representatives as a result of this current midterm elections, you see this stuff about impeachment that they're talking about. They talked about trying to impeach the president and now trying to impeach Justice Kavanaugh. They don't know the first thing about what impeachment is or what it means. They're just using it again to say, oh, I don't like, you know, their position. Well, then, you know, then do something about it through the normal processes. Now, impeachment, you know, has been tried against the judges in the past. I mean, if you count judges and all federal officials, there's only been about 19 impeachments in our whole history. And only about half of them, less than half, have actually succeeded. What I mean is, the House of Representatives is what drafts the articles of impeachment. But then the Senate would have to have a trial and conviction by a two-thirds majority. You'd have to have 67 senators agree to impeachment. So that's not going to happen. Realistically, politically, that's too steep of a hill to climb. But they can't even get to step one because there's no basis for the complaint. If they couldn't stop him from getting on the court because of a lack of evidence of a man who is arguably the most deadly public figure serving in our country right now, set an FBI background check. Remember, he served at the side of the president, George W. Bush, in the White House, and was the target of opposition research efforts by the other side when he was serving with
Ken Starr, right?
In that whole effort. So the point is that if you can't get sufficient evidence to keep him off the court, you're certainly not going to get sufficient evidence to get him off the court. Well, the point I'm making being this: they can say what they want, but the problem is if the Democrats were to take control of the House, the business of the American people wouldn't get done. They'd be just spending all this time arguing about impeaching the president and impeaching the Supreme Court justice. And in other words, the great work that's being done now that has resulted in a better economy than ever, a higher stock market than ever, lower unemployment than ever, higher security, stronger military, cuts in taxes, not to mention all the great pro-life stuff that's being done. The House of Representatives won't be getting that stuff done. They'll be going round in circles with a big, major waste of the time of the American people and of the U.S. Congress if they were to. And that's their agenda. They're making it clear that that's their agenda. And that's where, like you said before, it's up to the people now to decide if that's what they want.
So both sides in this, as we move into November, and this will be my last question. We have our in-studio guest just arrived, and I know you have to catch a flight. But real quick, as we move into November, what do you think this means for the pro-life issue? Because the whole thing has been about abortion and the sacred cow of abortion. And again, is this a Romans 8:28 situation? Because we are seeing now a lot of folks just saying, well, independents are really saying, this is crazy. I can't support this kind of activity. Is this what a particular party stands for? I mean, this craziness and this attacking people. What do you think it's going to look like in November? I mean, both sides are saying that they're ramped up and they're excited and that they're going to show up at the polls. What do you think?
Well, both sides are going to show up at the polls, and the polling is showing certainly an advantage for Republicans as a result of these confirmation hearings. And it all boils down to this. Each and every listener, you've got to get the people in your circle of influence out to vote. The folks who voted for President Trump 2 years ago need to realize that their vote will be wasted now, the 2 years that they have. A lot of them have accomplished. But their vote will have been wasted for the next 2 years if they don't get out and vote again. Because even though President Trump is not on the ballot, he is. His policies are, his philosophy is, and if you like the thing that has happened so far, you know, that's the motive for our side to get out there and vote once again. And I think they will.
Father, thanks for the insight and congratulations on being on the short list of folks who were invited to this very special ceremony. And we'll have more on Brett Kavanaugh, who actually begins his first day on the Supreme Court today. Thanks, Father. Safe travels. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN on a Tuesday morning.
C.S. Lewis is coming to Detroit. Award-winning actor Max McLean portrays C.S. Lewis on stage in The Most Reluctant Convert. Theater Mania says that McLean delivers an uncannily spot-on performance. The Chicago Sun-Times describes it as provocative and highly entertaining. And the Washington Post calls it hugely moving. C.S. Lewis on stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Coming October 13th and 14th to the Macomb Center in Detroit. Visit cslewisonstage.com.
Ann Arbor Smiles welcomes Dr. Patrick DiDonato and Dr. Abigail Walker to their team. Patrick is a parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and Abigail is a pediatric dentist with openings available without a wait. Learn more about them at AnnArborSmiles.com. The team at Ann Arbor Smiles offers nearly every specialty in two convenient locations, including cosmetic dentistry, braces and Invisalign, and even sleep apnea. Ann Arbor Smiles provides care for the entire family. Visit AnnArborSmiles.com. At the Men of the Sacred Heart, we get children to open up to Jesus in prayer. The last few have asked Jesus to protect a young girl at high school. A 12-year-old asked her older siblings to please be good as she follows in their footsteps. And a 14-year-old asking his parents to stop fighting. Contact Men of the Sacred Hearts for more details at 586-264-8550. That's 586-264-8550.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, at the very heart of the genius of the Church and of our faith is the incarnational reality, where visible realities are made visible through the architecture, art, music, liturgy, and even through the medium of film.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back. It's a Tuesday morning, October 2018. Wow. October. Middle of October already. Where does the time go? I am so excited to have two of my favorite ladies in the whole wide world who do amazing work, Debbie Herbrick and Iris Proctor. Now, you know them both. Iris is the beautiful executive director of Arbor Vitae Women's Center in Ann Arbor, and Debbie Herbeck is with Renewal Ministries, working very closely with her husband and Dr. Ralph Martin and Sister Ann Shields and all the amazing folks at Renewal Ministries. They do so much good for the faith and for the truth of who we are, created in the image and likeness of God. Both you ladies are heroes in my book. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Iris, really, let me start with you. What you're doing with this event that's coming up in really helping women, especially young women, embrace who they are, the way they're designed, this really is at the heart of everything that we're seeing out there, because at the bottom of this, in addition to abortion being one of the big reasons, and really it goes to abortion, people think that they have or should have ultimate control over everything. And when things don't go their way, and when they don't have God in their life, they replace it with someone else, and that's where the angst comes from. So what you're doing with this beautiful event is really, really important, not only from a health standpoint and a physical standpoint, but a spiritual standpoint. Let's talk about the event, when and where it is, and then why you decided to do this with Debbie, first of all.
Okay. The when is Wednesday, October 17th, so it's coming up the next couple of weeks. The time is 7 to 9 p.m., and where we're going to be at 242 Community Church in Ann Arbor on Wagner Road, and the event is free. We're hoping that moms of elementary girls and beyond, educators of elementary girls and beyond, mentors, aunts of elementary girls and beyond, will come and join us for this event and have this discussion.
So you're using the acronym, Debbie, FEM, which is Fertility Education Medical Management. Why did you decide to get involved with this?
Well, I decided because this is right in line with our vision for really helping teach young women who they are, what their identity is, and it's a mind-body spirit, mind, body, soul, the whole complete woman, to understand who you are as a young woman, the gift that God's given you and your femininity, to understand it not just spiritually or emotionally, but also scientifically, to understand the gift and to really teach these young women, because I know there's a direct correlation between understanding who you are as a woman and growing in your value and dignity and really being able to make good choices about your life and who you are in Christ.
And so, Iris, as you said, this is Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. at Community Church on Wagner Road, and it's free. Is this going to be a start of a series of events you're going to be doing?
Yes, we would love to. We want to start with this large group of moms and then literally move into community so that we can do smaller groups, smaller discussions, groups of moms, groups of young women. Because, again, we agree with Debbie, which is why Arbor Woman actually teaches femme. And femme is just simply teaching a woman about her cycle, the science of her body, so that she can know what's actually healthy. And then in light of that, make informed healthcare decisions at every stage of her life.
So as someone who directs this beautiful pregnancy resource center located in the heart of Ann Arbor, Michigan at U of M, what are you seeing that surprises you so much about what women don't know about their bodies when they come to see you?
They don't know. They intellectually know how they got pregnant. They don't know, why am I pregnant? They don't know that the risks that are out there for unhealthy that govern and are a part of their unhealthy behaviors. They don't know, and they don't value how they're made, the uniqueness, the mystery, the wonder of the fact that they were given the gift of being female, and that makes them amazingly unique, and there's amazing power, and there's truth. As a human, a culture, what if women, if we don't do what only our bodies can do, which is conceive and bear life, we cease to exist.
Right, right. You know, we were talking during the break with everything that we're seeing, this craziness, not only around Kavanaugh, but this whole obsession with abortion and birth control and this, you know, experimental sexuality, doing whatever you want with your body. Debbie, you were mentioning that there is a demonic sense to this, and I think we can't forget that.
No, I was talking to my my daughter who just turned 24, and she's really on fire in her faith, and we were talking a bit about it, and she said, Mom, this is Romans 1. This is exactly what the scripture talks about, and we've forgotten. We've, you know, it's idolatry. We've, you know, we've replaced the creator for the creature, and it really is playing itself out, and it helps me to remember that because it's so infuriating and so frustrating. And so to know that we're in a spiritual battle, that there's a dynamic, that there's a, you know, a force here that's happening that's really of the devil that we need to fight back. And so this is our very simple way of fighting back. Yes. We want to be proactive. Yeah. We want to take ground on this. And the other thing is we really want moms eventually to be able to take this to their daughters. So we don't want to keep dividing as the culture does. Like, okay, parents are over here in this little corner and they're clueless. And then here's their, you know, their teens or their young people doing all this stuff. We want to bring these generations together to really empower mothers to talk to their daughters about this.
We see this event as building that bridge to open that conversation between moms and daughters.
And Iris, you know better than anybody in your work in the pro-life movement and at this wonderful pregnancy center how Planned Parenthood wants to divide and wants to keep children away from their parents, and how many times we see these undercover videos from Planned Parenthood where these young underage girls are going in, and basically it's statutory rape because they're underage, and it's not being reported.
Indeed. That I love the verse that gets pulled, Philippians, that says, Paul says he wants us to be beacons of light, shining brightly in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverse generation, in the midst of the darkness. And the truth is, this is the opening of that discussion for moms and daughters, for us to really empower our daughters to be able to be just that, lights, to be able to give an account for what they believe in their faith, but to speak in a language that the culture understands, because our culture is faithless. So when they don't understand what we speak, but if we can talk about our bodies, how we're made, if woman to woman, our young women can interact and say, I get how my body works and this is why I'm making these decisions. They're countercultural, but they make perfect sense in light of how I'm made and who I choose to be.
Well, many people have actually come into a relationship with Christ and eventually even into the Catholic Church over the teachings on life and the understanding of what contraception, for example, does to a woman's body. And isn't it interesting? And this is what is so drives me nuts, because all of these things, whether it's abortion, whether it's the pill, all of these things harm us. And let's put, if we even just put the spiritual aspect aside, which you never really can, because we're not just souls floating around. I mean, and the body is very important, because our Lord came to us and was fully God and fully man. So the body is very, very important in terms of made in the image and likeness of God. But just looking at the physical fallout from these things, and why is it, how sexist is it that men don't, I'm sorry, this just drives me nuts, that there wasn't a birth control pill, a cancer-causing, heart problem, heart defect-causing pill for men to control their fertility? Why is it women are always left with a decision and the burden is on them?
Yeah, it's really true. It's unfair, and why can't we see that as women together, and instead of, you know, it causing hatred and division and hostility, it really brings us together to say, you know, we want to protect the feminine genius and what God has created us to be. That's true feminism in my mind.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, yeah. So, Iris, go with the details again. This is a week from tomorrow, and this falls under the acronym of FEM, which is F-E-M. Explain that, and also if people are just listening, what would be the appropriate age group for children?
Actually, the acronym is Fertility, Education, and Medical Management. FEM is designed, again, to teach women about their cycle, the science of their bodies, to allow them to know what's healthy and to make informed healthcare decisions at every stage of life. This event that we're having on Wednesday the 17th, October 17th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at 242 Community Church on Wagner Road in Ann Arbor is free, but it's not actually for young women. It's for the moms.
It's moms.
Yes,
so the girls won't be
moms.
There. Okay,
no,
it's just moms. Okay, I'm glad you clarified that for
of
me.
Of elementary
okay.
girls and beyond. It's for educators of elementary girls and beyond, but women, because we want to have a discussion that only women can have with women.
Mm.
Because, again, we want to be able to build a bridge for us older women to come alongside younger women, to enable them to stand in the midst of this culture.
So you don't want them to bring then their girls. You want this just to be for the moms and the educators. Just want to clarify that for our listeners.
Yes, very much so. Here's our goal. This is an initial kind of kickoff meeting where we present the information and like some of the core teachings of FEM, and really talk in conversation with these moms. How can we get this information out there on a smaller scale? For instance, one of the ways that we decided to do this event was we had last spring in my basement, I just invited 25 high school girls who were juniors and seniors in high school, and we had a FEM presenter come in and do the presentation for them, which was about an hour and a half, and then we had a small group discussion, and the girls absolutely loved it. They were like, wow, this is so cool that my body does this, and this is how it functions, and I really want to protect and cherish this gift. So we were able to have this really intimate conversation about really intimate things with these girls. We had told the moms ahead of time that it was happening, and they had our permission to do it. And so we envision these kind of conversations happening in, you know, people hosting things in their homes or in schools, maybe Catholic schools or other Christian schools wanting to host presentations where we can actually present this material to the girls and talk to them not only about how their bodies work, but also the one who made them.
Yes.
And how glorious that is, that God has given them something that he wants them to protect and cherish.
Right now, that conversation is only being had, or primarily being had, not only, but primarily being had in a secular world. Mm. And as we launched FEM in early January of this year, we've taken more than 100 women through FEM, young women, and they're ecstatic, as Debbie said, because they're getting to dialogue and have a dialogue that isn't natural. Even in the culture, they're not having this kind of a dialogue,
right,
where it values who they are and how they're made, and where they get to ask the awkward questions about why, what, and to really come to understand and appreciate and how to work with their body and their monthly cycle. This happens every month. Don't fight it. Work with it and thrive in light of that.
Yeah, because fighting it just leads to so much damage. It
Indeed.
Just causes so many problems, not only spiritually but physically as well. So how's registration going, Iris?
Good. Actually, we are doing all of this word of mouth. We're not even asking for an RSVP. What we're hoping is that this room is just going to be packed because, moms, we want to talk about this with our daughters. We want to find a way.
If you don't talk about it as a mom, then the culture is... But the research still shows, and both of you know this, but the research still shows that children want to hear from their parents, and that parents are still the first source. And, Deb, you know this because of your work with young people. If they don't have that line of communication open with their parents, they are going to go to other sources, and most likely with the media, that's going to be social media and also their friends who are all connected to Snapchat and Instagram. The young kids aren't really on Facebook. It's us oldies that are still on Facebook. But the young kids are communicating constantly by text and also by Instagram and Snapchat and other social media outlets. So this is really, really important for a bridge-building event. But this is for moms and educators, and it comes up a week from tomorrow. Now, if they have questions, Iris, is there a number they can call?
Yes, they can go to info or email info at beloverevolution.com.
Okay, info at beloverevolution. I've got it right in front of me. That's BELOVE revolution.com. Again, info at beloverevolution.com. This is next Wednesday evening at 2142 Community Church on Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. Starts at 7 and runs until 9. I hope you pack the place.
Thank you.
Yeah, send me a reminder if you need us to plug it one more time. And thank you both for the amazing work that you do. Iris and Deb, you two are just heroes in my book. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Right back at you. God bless you.
Okay, you too. All right.
Bye.
So again, this is the way we stand up for truth and we fight back lovingly with the beautiful truth of who we are, made in the image and likeness of God. This wonderful event coming up next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, for moms and educators of young girls, especially 7 to 9 p.m. And this is at the Community Church on Wagner Road. And for more information, it's free, so you don't have to pay anything. You don't even have to register. Just show up. Info at beloverevolution.com. Info at beloverevolution.com. And, of course, you can also email us here at Ave Maria Radio if you have any questions. This is how we stand up against the ugliness and the pain and the evil that's out there in our culture, telling us that God doesn't matter and that we are God and that we can do anything that we want. Basta enough. If we embrace who we are as daughters of the King, it is amazing. And I wish I could take all these women and so many women, that's why I love doing pilgrimages to Rome, inside the Sistine Chapel to look up, to look straight up with the Lord in terms of when he was creating man. You have that image as he's reaching out to Adam with his finger under his arm. Who's there but Eve? What does that tell you about what God thinks of women? We'll be right back.
The next Call to Holiness Conference is November 16th and 17th at Crystal Gardens in Southgate. This year's topic is the sacredness of marriage. Speakers include William May and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, as well as Dr. Janet Smith, Robert and Christine Muse, Dr. Edward Peters, and Father Edward Perone. Save $10 when you register by October 16th. For details, go to calltoholiness.com. That's Call to Holiness, November 16th and 17th. Calltoholiness.com.
As I tucked my daughter in for the night, I looked at her and said, "Guess what?" And she replied, I know, you love me. You tell me that every day, Mom. Those words never really flowed out of my mouth easily to anyone until I had a child. The reality is, there isn't anything more important to God than to love him and each other. Since having a child, those three little words come out of my mouth much more easily, daily and throughout the day to various people. We are spiritual beings in human bodies created by God to love. You just have to read scripture to know that's true. And Jeremiah, God has said, "I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." We're called to even love our enemies. Read about that in the Gospels. Love, it's what God has created us to do and to be. Yet for so many of us, it is so hard to even say, "I love you." This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
As a part of their 150th anniversary, St. Thomas Catholic School in Ann Arbor is sponsoring the Scythian Concert Wednesday, October 17th at 7:30 at the Ark in Ann Arbor. Scythian is a local favorite with a great mix of rockstar charisma and Celtic dervish fiddling. This show is for all ages. Tickets on sale at the Michigan Union Ticket Office or through the ARC.org.
Scythian, Wednesday, October 17th. Go to thearc.org.
We go to Rome with Edward Penton for the latest on the developments in the church, and then Dr. Alveda King also at that White House ceremony last night. Then we wrap up with Monsignor Charles Pope, keeping you up to date on what's happening with the investigation into the abuse crisis. It's Catholic Connection on a Tuesday, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.